Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, my guys. I feel like it's been a minute. And honestly, I'm not usually a liar. Like, I feel like I am the biggest liar on the planet at the moment, because every single time I come and hop onto this podcast, I say, oh, you know, it's been a while, but I promise you I'm going to be consistent. And then I keep letting you down. But it's so hard. Like, I just don't always have anything to say. Like, sometimes I have loads to say, and other times I have nothing to say, and it's difficult. And I definitely prefer when I'm talking to somebody else, because I feel like the conversation flows better and it goes more smoothly and it's easier to edit. Whereas when I sit on my own, I just yap, yap, yap into oblivion. And I've developed this really weird thing that when I'm yapping on my own, I think it must be like a stress response, but I end up, this is way TMI, but I end up feeling like I produce like loads of, I don't know, saliva, and then I keep swallowing like every few minutes, like it's going to happen now, hang on. So then it takes ages to edit because I don't want you guys to have to listen to me swallowing, because I'm getting nervous when I'm talking to myself and I'm waffling on. So I have to sit and edit like 30, 40 minutes of gabbering on, trying to figure out when the swallows are happening so I can get rid of them. Yeah, I know, first world problems. But I've made myself a little peppermint tea, and I'm going to try and drink that on the way through to alleviate the saliva. So far, not working. But I feel like I'm on the cusp of a breakdown, and I'm going to talk to you about why. For one, my chihuahua, my dog, is yapping and yapping and yapping. And honestly, I can't take it anymore. It's torture. Like, Little Miss Dolly has been a menace from the day I got her. She was so bloody cute. She was so timid when I first got her. And it nearly put me off, because I didn't really want a timid dog. Like, I've grown up in a family of dogs and predominantly chihuahuas. And that is my fault, because when I was 12, all I ever wanted was a chihuahua. And my family said to me, if you get selected for the British team this year, you can have whatever you want. And I went, does that include a chihuahua? And they were like, anything you want. Because they didn't expect me to get picked when I was 12 for Team GB. So anyway, I got picked because I'm a determined little bitch. And yeah, so I after the Europeans, I was like, right, so where's my chihuahua? And therefore we got Daisy. So I've had Daisy. I'm 26 now, and I've had her since I was 12. So she's my little old lady. She's such a grump. But then a few years after her, along came little Noodle. Yes, he's called Noodle. And yes, I regret calling him that, because when I shout it out in public, I sound insane. But it was between Nacho and Noodle. And to be honest, if you knew his personality, he definitely suits Noodle more. So they're my two older Chi-Chis. And then I think it was me and my mum were quite defiant. So my dad was like, no more, no, 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 no more dogs. So me and my mum found Dottie. And it's so funny, because she comes from a little rough life, and she is the best dog on the planet. Like, you're not meant to have favorites, but she is so loyal. She's like a big dog in a little dog body. And she was sold as a purebred Chihuahua, but she is not. She's like double the size of the rest of them. And my family took her to the pub like a couple years ago with them. And somebody said, oh my God, she looks like a Papillon. And we'd never heard of that dog breed. So we Googled it and we figured out that she's a bit of a mutt, but she's definitely like a Papichi. And oh my God, if you're going to ever crossbreed dogs or buy a crossbreed dog, get a Papichi. She is the best dog ever. She's so loyal and kind and beautiful, but she's little, so you can have more of them. And then anyway, along came Dolly, and Dolly was meant to be mine. So the other dogs are my family dogs. And then I moved out. Well, I moved out a lot over the years. I've lived in like 4 or 5 different apartments. And anyway, during COVID, I moved back in with my family to be close to the horses, and just loads of life was going on. At the time, I had an American boyfriend, and I did think I was going to end up like living with him and moving to America. Long story short, that obviously did not happen. And then I was kind of stuck at my mum and dad's because I had no boyfriend and I was, not allowed outside because of COVID. So anyway, I moved out again, found myself an apartment because at 26, well, I was 25, I think, at this stage, but at 25, living with your parents, oh God, it's hardcore. Like, my family were quite close-knit growing up. So it was always, where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you doing this with? And I was way too well-behaved. Like, I never did anything wrong. And I never really learned to lie. So I was like, well, oh, I'm going to go here. And then the endless questions. So when you get to a certain age, it's not even that you want to lie. You don't want to lie. You just don't. In fact, you especially don't want to lie. You just don't want to have to explain yourself. So moving out was so nice because it was like, well, I can do whatever I want. I can go to the gym. I can go to the supermarket and nobody says, where are you going? And it's completely innocent. I don't mind being asked where I'm going. I just don't always want to have to answer, you know? Anyway, so I bought Dolly and I was not looking for a dog. But when I was competing, I was on a team with one of my friends. She's actually been on this podcast. She's called Rose Hugh Smith. And her mum posted on Facebook about her dog's called Bean, having a litter of little, a chiweenie, because in America they call them weenie dogs. So they had a litter of little chiweenies. Their dog was like, I think, part Chihuahua, part sausage dog, and then the dad was a Chihuahua. And I didn't realize that. I think I thought they were going to be more sausage dog than they were Chihuahua. And I went and visited and I absolutely fell in love with little Dolly. Her name was, I think they'd called her Athena when I first went to visit, but I just knew I wanted a dog called Dolly, but off Dolly Parton. And we ummed and ahed because we thought Dolly, Dotty, but I was like, do you know what? They're not going to live together. It's fine. So I bought Dolly and she was a menace. Literally, she would not crate train. She would wake up, she'd go to bed, and then I think it was about 3-4 in the morning, she'd wake up yapping all night. Like the rest of the day. And it went on for weeks. After 2 weeks of this, because normally they settle after a few days, but no, not Dolly. So after 2 weeks of that, I had to take her for a holiday at my mum and dad's and I had to have a couple of nights sleep. And I literally felt like that was what having a newborn child would be like, except you can't necessarily palm it off straight away. And I was like, right, that teaches me I'm definitely not ready yet to be a mother. Like, I cannot cope. Like, this is hard enough. And anyway, she was so cute. What she made up in menacing, she made up for in cuteness factor. But she was always a bit funny about being picked up, which was a nightmare. So I had to like chase around my apartment. I had to then start putting the cage in a different room, which, bearing in mind, this was a small apartment. So like, she was not far away from me, still could hear her through the walls. So I had to end up getting earplugs. I had to sleep with earplugs in and her as far away as I could physically get it in a small apartment. Still yapped all the time, but I made it work. And then anyway, fast forward, circumstances changed slightly. So I am back with my mum and dad at my family home for not too much longer now. I've got some cool plans in place that I can't wait to tell you about, but I'm not one to jinx things, so I'm not going to talk about it right now. But as soon as I have any updates, I will hop on here and, you know, chat to you all. So anyway, Dolly now lives with the other three Chihuahuas, and actually, she was made to have siblings. She is so cute with them and they play all day, but she is still a yapper. And I can hear her right now because we've got some workmen on the house and she just hears a noise. But like the other dogs get bored, they get tired. No. Dolly has some stamina. She will keep going and going and going. And I've literally had to go and lock myself in the other room because she's yapping in one room. And it's way too annoying to have her in the background while I'm trying to record a podcast. But then the said workmen on the house, like, they're really lovely guys, but I'm not used to, like, the workmen, like, every time you walk past the window, them staring in and looking at you. Like, normally I found that when people work on the outside of houses, they try and ignore you. They try and avert their eyes because obviously it's a bit awkward otherwise. But these guys, even though they're lovely and, they have done work on this house before, every time I walk past the window, I've got beady eyes staring at me and I'm like, ah. So I didn't really want to be recording this podcast where they could, like, earwig. And I'm not saying anything weird, but I get some severe stage fright and embarrassment. Like, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am not cut out to be a quote unquote influencer. You know, I've told you how I fell into it before and how it's not natural for me. Like, I'm not a natural center of attention. I'm not a natural opinionated, mouthy person, which I'm not saying all influencers are, but it's just not been natural. So I really get uncomfortable even now, even years and years in, when people hear me doing social stuff or see me doing social stuff. Like, I'm still not even brave enough to film my day in the lives for TikTok at the gym, and that's only on a phone. Like, I get mortified when people see me taking a picture in the mirror. It actually happened the other day where I was trying to take a selfie in the changing room mirror, and obviously I try and wait till nobody's in there out of respect for them and out of, you know, self-preservation for me, but somebody saw me and I just wanted the ground to swallow me. So that was that. It took years for me to be able to do photo shoots or pictures in public in front of people. And when I was in Florida recently, I was doing some photos for my swimwear brand, Cobra Swim, and actually managed to tune them all out. Like, people do stare, they think you look insane, and I managed to tune them out. So I was quite proud of myself for that. But when it comes to actually, like, speaking to my camera in public and, like, filming YouTubes, that's where I have actual cold sweats and nightmares about it. So, yes. Okay, one sec. Peppermint tea break, because I'm feeling a little phlegmy. God, peppermint tea is so good. I don't know if it's helped clear my hormonal acne, but that has definitely reduced. And it tastes delicious. It makes me feel, like, refreshed. It, like, cleanses me from the inside out. I don't know. Back to the whole influencing thing. Like, I've been really struggling recently. I keep going through these waves of struggles, and it's because I'm not a natural content creator, social media star, all of that thing, where I just have, like, mental stumps of what to post or what people want to see. And, like, I don't know if this makes sense, but I feel like I'm almost humble to a fault. Like, I think being humble is a nice thing, you know, appreciating what you have and respecting how you got it. But I have kind of been brought up to not be vain and, you know, the center of attention and to mind my manners and to respect people. And I've had a very good upbringing, but that's definitely how I was raised. So I struggle now. I keep second guessing myself and I'm like, oh, have I been too mouthy? Or shit, do I look too stuck up or do I look too vain? And I have, like, this constant thing of, like, second guessing my actions in case it comes across negatively. And it's weird because I've been working on it, actually. I've been, you know, soul searching a little and figuring out what I deem acceptable and where my boundaries are, and, like, actually finding my own personality and finding my own vibe without worrying too hard what other people think. But then it is always nagging in the back of my mind, like, careful you don't seem too arrogant, careful you don't seem too up yourself, careful you don't seem this. And it's difficult because that does not lend itself well to social media and constantly posting pictures of yourself, constantly taking videos and constantly acting like what you say is really important. So I always sit and I think, well, nobody wants to hear that. That's not important. Or nobody wants to see that. Nobody cares about that. And I've obviously figured out that there is a lot of you who do care, and I am so appreciative of it. But it's taking a little bit of rewiring in my brain to keep going when I think it's not important or I think it's not interesting. So that's why with the podcast, I struggle slightly, because you've got to talk and you've got to talk and you've got to talk. That's what this is. And I just don't want to bore anybody, and I don't want to feel like so self-important that everyone has to listen to me, which, oh, I know, it's like chicken and egg. It's such a like rock and a hard place sometimes, but I do like chatting, and I felt like today I kind of just needed to vent a little bit. Like, I wanted to talk to you guys, and I saw some comments on my podcast page of like, oh, I've binge listened to all of your podcasts recently and I need some more. And like, a few people have said that they find this quite soothing just to put on while they're mucking out or going about their day-to-day life. And honestly, if it wasn't for those comments, I actually don't think I would be recording this right now, because like I said, I convinced myself that nobody really cares. And I feel like people are quite slow with their comments. Like, I do a lot of day in the life videos purely because I really find them enjoyable to film and edit, and I just like it. It's nice. And then I know I'm going to look back one day when I'm old and I'm going to be able to see like what my days were like. And I don't know, it's just, it soothes me slightly. But they're hit and miss on the comments. Like, some will get loads of comments and people be really engaging and interested, and it makes me feel super validated, and it makes me think, shit, yeah, I should keep posting these, people like them. But then other times I post them and I only get a handful of comments from, like, you know, a load of the weird men that follow me, and I'm like, oh god, did this video not hit? Do people not want to see it? Like, I don't know. Like, being on social media, don't get me wrong, it's a cool job and I'm so bloody grateful it's not my only job, because I would literally lose my mind. But it isn't always super rewarding. Like, you have to kind of keep posting even if you don't think people like it, because a lot of people do, but they're kind of silent watchers or silent listeners. But which I'm a silent watcher and I'm a silent listener, because I always think, oh, is it a bit weird if I comment on this? But actually, from my point of view, I appreciate the comments from girls more than you would ever know. Like, if you see one of my day in the life videos and you like something in it or you enjoy watching them, please comment and let me know, because otherwise it just makes me not really want to do them. Because the whole point of content creation and social media is entertainment. Like, we wouldn't bother doing it, I guess, if you didn't feel like you were entertaining people or like contributing something to their life. But you don't always know you are. And that's why, like, I've had quite a lot of people come up to me at, you know, the pop-up horse shows and comment on my socials and say, like, we need another podcast episode, or I enjoy listening to it. And that kind of feedback actually warms my soul and it makes me want to keep producing these. So yeah, I don't know. Like, thank you to the girls who do comment, and thank you so much to all of you who do listen, because it really does help. It makes it. And for somebody who's not actually as confident in their social media, ironically, because of obviously everything I've just said, it really helps. It motivates me to want to keep going and want to record when I don't always see the point. So there is that. I was also thinking recently, like, I don't think I'm depressed. I don't. But I just keep going through like mental hazes of like, what am I doing with my life? Which, I know this has turned a deep corner, I'm so sorry, but it's hard. Like, I mean, I've got a pretty good life, you know, I definitely respect that, and I'm very grateful for everything I have. But it's so hard sometimes when you don't feel like you're on a clear path. And when you, like, I love routine. I find it very good to have a basis of routine, but I also hate it in equal measures. Like, if I do too much routine and I keep going and I keep going, I get so bored and I get mind numbed. And I feel like that's what I'm doing at the moment. Either that, or I'm coming out of like the winter slump. Because, I mean, I don't know how many listeners on here are not from England, but living in England over the winter and the spring season is not for the faint-hearted. The weather is bloody awful. You literally get, I don't know, like barely any sunlight. And then when it is daylight, there's no sun. It's just cloud and it's rain and it's miserable. And like, obviously it's been getting brighter recently.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Recently, which definitely helps. Like it's, when I'm doing the horses at night and I'm doing night checks, it's daylight because I'm going down a little bit earlier. I'm trying to go at 8 o'clock instead of 8:30 and it's still light. So that is absolutely unreal. But we've had the weirdest spring. Like it's been hailing almost every single day. You get one day of a little bit of sun and then it hails and then sun and then hails and sun, and it's just weird. And I think that doesn't help, but I'm trying to pinpoint what it is that's actually causing my slump. Like I woke up today, didn't bother making my bed, can't be bothered to tidy anything, feeling very low energy, but at the same time bored when I don't do anything. So like literally can't win. And you know, nothing anyone could do would help me. It's obviously just something in my own brain, but I just think I've got a little mental fog going on, and it kind of translates to the horses too. Like I just don't want to ride. I'm not in the mood. I just it's so hard to admit on like an equestrian podcast because there's so many horsey people that, you know, will judge and be like, well, you know, you should ride, you've got an indoor, you've got this. And I know, I'm so grateful, but I just don't want to get on the horse at the minute. Like I've been forcing myself to, and then there's been the odd time where I like have a week where I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna leave it. And but then I have the guilt. I don't know if you guys have ever done this where you have riding guilt. And like my horses don't care. They probably prefer not being ridden, if anything. They probably prefer days in the field and relaxing and nobody getting on them and riding around and telling them what to do. But I get so guilty. And I think it stems from being like riding my entire life. Like only when lockdown approached did I ever actually get a better riding life balance. I used to not even get days off. So I kind of look back now and I'm like, actually, that's not normal. That's not right. And it was, so I started riding when I was really little and I got quite good when I was about 8 years old. I think I got my trainer at that point and they identified that I had a bit of talent and stuff like that, which was great. And I loved competing. I wouldn't have said I was a natural born horse person, but I absolutely fell in love with competing. I fell in love with like what horses can do and the beauty of the partnerships and all of that kind of thing. But then it got really intense because I went straight from like being good for a few years to being on teams. And then I was on teams for 6 consecutive years. And that is draining, to be honest. Like it's hardcore. It's very political. You've got all these old women like ruling the roost. Well, you did back when I was doing it. I don't know what it's like now, but I had all these old women calling the shots, ruling the roost, and you had to, quote, play the game. And I was like 12 or 13 and I was getting these old people like having a go at me. And I remember one of the selectors, I've probably talked about this in podcasts before. This is also a negative trait that I never remember what I've said. But I remember one of the selectors literally screaming at me because I didn't do well enough in the competition. And I was probably only about 15 or 16 at this point. And I think when you've had it all your life, it's insane. And then the trainer I used to have was obviously amazing, like made me a very good rider, taught me a lot of cool knowledge, but didn't show me what a decent balance is like. And I used to have lessons every single day. And, you know, my family did what they thought was best to help me when they saw talent and they got told by multiple other people I was really talented and that I should, you know, cultivate that talent. And my trainer at the time was like, yeah, you know, we need to go hardcore. We need to train all this time. And so I used to have a lesson every single day of life, which I actually look back and I think that's clinically insane now. Who has a lesson every single day. Like even once to twice a week now would be more than enough to have a lesson, because then you've got to go away and, you know, train it yourself and figure out your own mind and how you feel to situations. But no, I used to ride every single day, and the horses would get a day off, but I wouldn't, so because we would rotate it. And obviously I was very blessed to have more than one horse and to be competing and all of this stuff. But I look back and I think it's really strange now that I used to ride 7 days a week every single day. And I think there's no wonder I started getting a bit mentally switched off from it, because that wasn't just 7 days a week of variety, that was 7 days a week of in the four corners of the school. We never did pole work, we never did jumping, we never did hacks, we never did anything to keep my brain fresh and the horse's brain fresh. And at the time, under advice from the trainer I had at the time, the horses didn't even go out. Like they didn't get turned out, because I was told that, well, in Holland they don't turn them out, you know, in case they get injured, because obviously these horses are expensive and everyone wants to look after them. But it was only probably when lockdown approached, which is actually ironically when I started getting the followers, where I actually had fun with riding. I started jumping with my friend Ayla, I started hacking, I started having days off, I started, like, my horses got like turnout. It was like a world had opened up that I didn't know about, and I didn't have a single lesson because obviously my trainer was in lockdown as well. And it was finally like the blindfold had been pulled off my eyes after all these years and like all this conditioning of how things should be, and me going, whoa, no, that's not it. Like, your horses deserve to do variety and you deserve days off and mental variety. Yeah, so I think that's where the guilt comes from. Like, I used to ride every single day of life and it was not an option to not ride. So nowadays when I don't ride, even though the horses don't care, they get to turn out, they get to lunge, they get to hack. Like, I've got some amazing grooms that help me out and they do a lot of variety with them, so the horses are living their best life. And they're all, the personalities of them, it's come out so much, like they're all actual personalities, and you can tell how happy they are because of this variety and this kind of more easy life. But it's still hard on my head. I don't know how else to describe it other than just riding guilt, which is why I'm trying not to be too hard on myself at the moment that I'm not feeling like riding. Like, I will go down and I'll stretch them and I'll go and check them. And I do my night checks every single night. I really love to make sure my horses are okay and they're chilling and they're well fed. But I don't know, it's just not for the faint-hearted horse riding. It's like having a child, because, you know, for the next 18 years of your life, you've got to look after that child, except it never ends, because a horse doesn't get to a certain age and can suddenly look after itself. Nope, it's a commitment for life. And I think a lot of people ask me, like, how should I get into horse riding? I think the first thing you should do is evaluate if you can cope, like if you can look after them and check on them and make sure everything's fine for the rest of your and their life. It's hardcore. There's something about talking on here that feels like I'm in a bit of a safe space. I mean, it's probably not, but I just realised I don't think I ever told anybody that, about how my riding kind of childhood was and the trainer I had at the time. And I think I've just been raised to be so like subservient under all the selectors, and to, you know, make sure I mind my manners and don't, you know, respect everyone and don't ever say things that could get you in trouble. And obviously I really don't ever want to get in trouble, but it's more like I don't ever want to upset anybody either. I don't want to say things that is going to cause upset to people. But yeah, I feel like I've never told you guys that, so that's a little bit of insight there. It makes me feel weirdly emotional. Why do I feel sad? All right, do you know what? Let's move on. I am not getting upset online. So let's talk about something happy. What else is going on in life? So, oh, Blackheart. The Blackheart makes me super happy. So let's talk about that. So we recently launched our Horse Girl collection, which has been incredible. The response for that was bloody unreal. Like, the amount of horse girls out in the world is just so cool. And the collection is amazing. And then we've got another collection dropping this Friday. So I'm hoping to get this podcast up today or tomorrow. Like, I want it to be pretty accurate, but it's going to take me a while to edit. Yeah, so we've got new shorts and wide leg joggers coming, and then a new hoodie range, which I'm so excited about. Like, it's a very simple drop, but it's one of those, like, well, we're literally calling out our essentials, so it's like simple but essential, and I think people are going to really love that. But then I'm literally trying to keep a lid on the drop that's coming after that, but I'm just so excited. So we've got a really cool, we've got a few collabs coming this year, not just with people, which I don't know if that helps lead you to where we're going with that. I'm not sure. Got one with a person, one not with a person. We've just got some really cool stuff, and I feel like it's the kind of year where, you know, the devil works hard, but BHE works harder. So I don't know. You guys are gonna love it. I am so excited. But that's keeping me busy. You know, Blackheart is my baby, and I absolutely adore work, I adore all of that stuff, and I just love creating products that people adore and people feel good in, and it makes me so happy. I mean, obviously it's hard, I've talked about it before, but it is definitely difficult running a business, but there is so many positives that, I don't know, it makes me happy. And we keep getting some amazing 5-star Trustpilot reviews at the minute, which literally make my day. This is kind of tying into what I was saying about if you like something, tell people, because I feel like a lot of the time you only ever get reviews when they're bad. Like, people love to like jump on it when they're pissed off and they want to get their own way. But when people are happy, it kind of floats by the wayside. And I think that is kind of what happens in life, like on my videos as well. Like, if people don't like something, oh my God, they're going to tell you. But if they like something, they don't always tell you. So same. But yeah, I really like that. It's just been going good. Yeah, I've kind of run out of things to say. Let me check. I wrote a few notes because I was like, well, there might be something that I forget to say. So, okay, the first note in my thing is cat biscuits. No, I've literally covered everything on my list. Let's go through my notes. So oh my God, on one of them, I've got like movie recommendations, and one says Smothered. And I started watching, that's not a movie, it's like a series. I started watching that and I was horrified. Oh my God, Smothered. It's about like mums and daughters that are way too close. And I watched the first episode and I was like, I'm actually not sure I can watch this. This is really disturbing, actually. What else have I got in my notes? I actually want to do a podcast one day where I just read you through a lot of my threads, because I think, oh my God, Threads is one of my favorite apps at the minute, because it's kind of like a podcast where I don't actually have to sit and record. I just type my thoughts and see if it makes sense. But I think a lot of people, like, I assume people are going to read it in the way I intend it. I assume people are going to read it in my tone and my voice, and like they know my personality. So I'm not really big on emojis, and I'm not really big on like too much punctuation when I do it. So I have no idea how it comes across. So I would love to do a podcast reading my threads, like how they're intended. What was my last one? Oh, my last one was a bit sassy. Oh, okay. One of them said, I'm so tired all the time, am I dying? Which, I don't know, still don't know. And the other one was, I'm sorry, what the hell is hobby horsing? So I saw that on my TikTok the other day, and I couldn't believe they actually do hobby horsing competitions. Like, don't get me wrong, I am not judging you. Do whatever the hell you want. Like, it's a, you know, like, I feel like we should just let people live. I've said this before. However, as a horse person, watching hobby horsing was incredibly confusing, because there was a girl competing in it, and don't get me wrong, that girl was graceful. Like, she was way more graceful than I think my horses even are. But it's literally a horse head on a stick, and you prance around like you are the horse doing jumps or a dressage test. And it was just odd. Like, I wonder what gets you into that. I mean, I know everyone probably had a hobby horse as a kid, but what makes you think, like, this stick and I, we're gonna compete? Like, you, world, watch out. And the funniest part was at the end, she patted the horse head like it had done a good job, which that just tickled me. It made me giggle. But yeah, hobby horsing is different. It's different. No judgment, but it's different. What else was on my threads? Been feeling like I'm a little rat. I just realized I spelt it wrong. I meant to say, so I fake tanned, but it says, so I came tanned, stuck on some lashes, tinted my brows. Now I'm a cute rat, which, okay, I did. I used this gradual tan and it was the streakiest thing ever. So now I'm orange with streaks. I did stick on some lashes and they're cute. And then I dyed my eyebrows and they've already washed out. So I'm back to being like a semi-cute orange streaky little rat. But yeah, I just need a tan. I think I need a holiday. That's what I need. I need to go away for a few days and switch my brain off and get a tan, because I think everyone with a tan looks really healthy. And I am very pale. Like, I have very Irish heritage, and I be pale. I be some see-through. But yeah, so anyway, I'm going to wrap this up now because I've enjoyed talking to you, but I've actually got to go and do some work and more stuff. So if you guys listen to this podcast, well, I'm hoping you're listening. But if you've listened to this podcast and you like what you hear, drop me a DM of what you'd like me to talk about next. You know, I'm really open to suggestions. I think that would help me when I'm feeling stuck on something to say, to hear what you guys want me to say or to talk about even. And yeah, give me your feedback. It means more to me than you even realize. Like, I appreciate it so much. So yeah, I think we should make a pact, actually. Let's all make a pact together to go forward. And like, if we like something, we tell somebody. Because I found that this is a big thing in America. When I was in America for a few months, every single day I got a compliment from a stranger. And it could vary. Like, someone one day in a sandwich shop was like, oh my God, you're really pretty. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. So are you. And then I was at a car wash and they were like, you've got really nice eyes. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. And I feel like it's not really the British way to be super direct with your compliments. We're quite, you know, British, stiff upper lip and quite reserved. Whereas I found the culture of complimenting people and being really warm towards strangers are so nice. Like, every time I got a compliment, it literally made my day. And I feel like that's all it takes to make someone's day. So if you see someone that you find pretty, tell them. If you like someone's bag, tell them. If, I don't know, just if you like something or you think you could be pleasant to somebody, just do it. Like, I'm making that pact with you now. I am also going to do it. I mean, I barely leave my house. I only go to the gym, I go to work, and then I go home. But if I see something I like or that appeals to me, I am going to try and go out of my way to say it to people. So I feel like you can do it too. One a day ish. Two, three a week, then let's compromise. But anyway, thank you guys for listening. This is Unbridled with Erin, and I will talk to you guys next time, whenever that may be.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.